Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with indications that the bombings in Boston were acts of domestic terrorism and speak with Mark Potok, the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project and editor of their Hate Watch blog. We will discuss the rampant speculation surrounding the bombings and try to assess possible motives for domestic terrorist groups to engage in an act whose sole purpose seems to be to kill Americans. Then we will speak with Dan Kennedy, who is a regular panelist on Beat the Press, a weekly roundtable program on media issues on WGBH-TV in Boston, to get a sense of how the city is dealing with this shocking tragedy and how its citizens are responding to comforting victims and their families and efforts by law enforcement to investigate who was behind the bombings. Dan Kennedy has an article at CNN, "Our Greatest Day Turns to Horror." And then we will discuss China's release of a defense white paper revealing the structure of its military with China expert June Dreyer, professor of political science at the University of Miami, who specializes in Chinese government and foreign policy and U.S. defense policy. She's the author of China's Political System, Modernization, and Tradition. Then finally, we'll go to Caracas, Venezuela to get an update on the tense and polarized situation following the very close election that has the winner, Maduro, accusing American imperialists of sabotaging the results. Meanwhile, the loser, Capriles, is demanding a recount and has called off the planned rally to protest the results on Wednesday that the government has said it would not allow. Virginia Lopez, who covers Latin America and Venezuela for the UK Guardian and Sky TV, joins us. Joining us now is Mark Potok, director of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project and editor of its award-winning quarterly investigative journal, Intelligence Report. In addition to editing the magazine and the Hate Watch blog, Mark Potok acts as a key spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center, a well-known civil rights organization based in Alabama. He's testified before the Senate, the United Nations High Commission on Human Rights, and other venues. The Southern Poverty Law Center recently released a new report, The Return of the Militias, which documents how, after vanishing for nearly 10 years, the anti-government militia movement is surging across the country, fueled by fears of a black president, the changing demographics of the country, and fringe conspiracy theories increasingly spread by mainstream figures. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Potok.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
And, Mark, obviously there are reasons for some people to speculate that, first of all, it seems to be the consensus of from the news, which, of course, one can't believe, and the government is being very careful, the president's being very careful about releasing information, but that doesn't mean that there's rampant speculation, and it seems to be more and more centering on a consensus that this was an act of domestic terrorism. Is that your understanding?
Well, I don't know if there's a consensus. I get the sense just from listening, from talking to reporters all day long, that people on Background are saying to reporters that they're leaning at least somewhat towards some kind of domestic source. Now, you know, what I've not heard anywhere is, what does that mean? You know, does that mean the domestic radical right? Does it mean conceivably some kind of domestic radicalized Muslim? Does it mean another Adam Lanza, some sort of crazed, you know, single mass murderer who, you know, wants to be on TV, wants to be famous for 5 minutes? That I certainly don't know. And I think truly the evidence is mixed. It's not all that clear to me that the answer is obvious.
Well, this hasn't stopped, of course, a lot of speculation on the right in this country, accusing Muslims of being involved, as what happened back in 1995 with the Oklahoma City bombing, until it was found that it was a homegrown terrorist, Timothy McVeigh. You recall people like Emerson were saying it was Jordanians, etc. And now you have Fox News commentator Eric Rush sending out tweets, let's kill them, referring to the Muslims. And Pamela Geller, the anti-Muslim blogger, is talking about jihad in America. Pat Robertson on the 700 Club is saying, don't talk to me about the religion of peace, the way Muslims describe their faith, no way. So clearly that thread is out there, at least amongst some people on the, in the in the.
Yeah, and it's worth saying, Ian, that it's not merely people blaming it on Muslims. It is, you know, every, it seems like large numbers of the really fringe characters in our world, in our society, are basically blaming whoever their particular hated enemy is. So we've already seen some of the anti-immigration groups saying it's an immigrant or it's immigrants. If we didn't let those people, those sort of dirty foreigners into our country, you know, this wouldn't have happened. We've got Alex Jones, this kind of uber conspiracy theorist who has a radio show out of Austin, Texas, saying what he seems to say about just about every big attack or disaster, which is this is a false flag operation by the government. What's really going on is the government murdered all those people and set off those bombs so that it could use them as an excuse to crush people like Alex Jones, sort of liberty-loving patriots and all that good stuff.
Right. And
this is exactly what Alex Jones says about virtually everything. It's what the radical right said about the Oklahoma City bombing. So, you know, these characters out there are simply making the events fit their particular, bigoted framework, their particular view of the world, without a scrap of evidence to support them. I mean, it just shows how really bankrupt these people are.
And, of course, this Alex Jones character is one of the main protagonists of the 9/11 conspiracy theories.
That's right.
So, in terms of this week is a significant week, is it not, for the very right-wing militia movement in this country?
It is. And that is what's kind of driven some of the speculation about this attack coming from the domestic radical right. The point was made many times today in the newspapers and radio shows and so on that Monday in Massachusetts was Patriots Day, quote unquote. And it is true that Patriots Day is a kind of iconic day on the calendar of the radical right in this country. But for them, Patriots Day is the date of April 19th. April 19th is significant in their minds because it was the day of the opening shots of the American Revolutionary War in Lexington and Concord. It was the day of the beginning of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising in 1943. It was the day in 1985 of a major FBI raid of a big white supremacist compound in northwest Missouri, a place called the Covenant, the Sword, and the Arm of the Lord. It was the day, of course, of the end of the Waco standoff when the building burst into flames and about 80 of the cultists inside with their children died. And most importantly, the day of the Oklahoma City bombing exactly 2 years after the Waco debacle in 1995. So, you know, it is an important day, but it is not, but April 19th was in fact not Monday. The reality is that Massachusetts celebrates Patriots Day as a state holiday, and they do so, of course, because Lexington and Concord are in Massachusetts, so it's a big deal in that state. And the way they've set it up is the holiday in Massachusetts is the third Monday in April. So I think it's a bit far out, the idea that, April 19th, of course, is Friday. So it just seems very unlikely that someone on the radical right would be trying to send a message about what April 19th meant and so on by setting off a series of bombs on April 15th. It's possible. It is a very important day in their world. But it seems rather strange. I mean, I have never seen anyone on the extreme right talk about the third Monday in April. They all talk about April 19th, the date of which, they all know. It's kind of stamped on their frontal lobes.
Well, and of course, even though McVeigh indiscriminately killed Americans and children, as is the case in this atrocity in Boston, it normally targeted the radical right normally targets federal buildings or symbols of federal power. So that's a bit confusing in this case.
I think there's really something to that. I mean, when I think about the various attacks that have been carried out over the last 20 or 30 years by the radical right, They were atrocities, certainly, but one could at least, as a kind of intellectual matter, understand the targets. As you said, the typical targets, they're abortion clinics, they're gay nightclubs, they are federal buildings. In the case of Timothy McVeigh, I mean, McVeigh killed people who mostly had no relationship to the government at all, Social Security recipients, children, and so on. But even so, one could understand he was targeting the federal government, who he held responsible for what he saw as a mass murder in Waco. And the list goes on. And there was a bomber a few years ago who tried to kill as many as 1,500 marchers on Martin Luther King Day near Spokane, Washington. All of these kinds of targets, you can understand what they're trying to say with their terrorism. In the case of the Boston Marathon, who was really targeted? It was not the government. It was not the IRS, despite the fact that it was tax day on Monday. It was not any particular minority group. It wasn't black people or gay people or Jewish people or immigrants or Muslims. It was really, it seems to me, when you look at the victims or the people who were targeted generally in Boston, the only thing that really unites them is they were Americans. They weren't even of any particular social class. So it really was a rather hodgepodge group of people. And so I'm just arguing that it's a little hard. I'm not saying that I think it didn't come from the radical right. I think we just don't know that. But the target is difficult to understand if that was the case.
Well, Mark Potok, of course, what we do know is that the bombs were pressure cooker bombs, explosives, simple explosives, gunpowder, surrounded by ball bearings and nails inside of pressure cookers, inside of backpacks left in trash cans or trash containers. And they are, of course, IEDs, improvised explosive device, I guess, in the broad sense. They have a history. The short-lived Al-Qaeda magazine Inspire apparently put up how-to information about these bombs. The 2010 SUV bomb in New York's Times Square was a pressure cooker bomb was using firecrackers and 120 firecrackers. But apparently the Inspire tipsters how to build these bombs did in fact members of at least one prominent white supremacist website shared these terror tips and called them highly recommended reading, and also this was also discussed in detail on an anarchist site describing how to build pressure cooker bombs as what they affectionately call hellhounds.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it's these pressure cooker bombs are at all limited to the places where they're commonly thought, there's a lot of us being common, Pakistan, India, and places like that, where pressure cookers are, in fact, very commonly used to cook. I think the reality is it's quite an easy bomb to build. It's very easy to get information on it off the Internet and to essentially follow instructions on the Internet to pull this off. I remember seeing in 2010 there was a Department of Homeland Security circular sent around to law enforcement agencies warning them of these pressure cooker bombs. They mentioned their foreign use, but also were warning about their use domestically and not necessarily by jihadists or something of that stripe. I think the reality is the Internet has made many, many kinds of weapons, especially these relatively easy weapons to build, very much available to almost anyone. It just does not take that much skill to assemble some of these bombs with the Internet at your fingertips. These are not specialized weapons. I think that's probably a reason not to see that may be evidence that it's more likely domestic than foreign in origin. Because I think, if you had a foreign plot, a foreign-based plot like this, I think you would expect to see a very sophisticated plot with sophisticated bombs and so on. If people were going to come all the way over here, get into the country and do everything that it takes to set up an attack like this, I think it would have been much, much more sophisticated, as I say, than it was. But in fact, this looked quite a lot in some ways like a kind of homegrown operation. I mean, that doesn't tell us what the ideology of the bomber may have been, but it does suggest that perhaps that person or those persons were, in fact, Americans.
Well, Mark Potok, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Well, a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Mark Potok, who's director of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project and editor of its award-winning quarterly investigative journal, Intelligence Report. In addition to editing the magazine and the Hate Watch blog, Potok acts as the spokesperson for the Southern Poverty Law Center, and it has recently released a new report, The Return of the Militias, which documents how, after vanishing for nearly 10 years, the anti-government militia movement is surging across the country, fueled by fears of a black president, the changing demographics of the country, and fringe conspiracy theories increasingly spread by mainstream figures.